We're going to begin a really in-depth walk-through study about the person of the Holy Spirit. And I kind of wanted to share something today with you that I believe is a beginning. I want to give a little bit of testimony, personal testimony, about my experience with the Holy Spirit. And then I want to give to you today some great scriptures and some look into this word about the Holy Spirit and wisdom and how that works, and how the Holy Spirit is equal to wisdom. And when we've got the mind of God, we have the wisdom of God, then we've got what we need. Everything else will fall into place. And if we don't have the wisdom of God, if we don't have the mind of God, then we're at a place for error. We're at a place for failure. We're at a place for messing up, and we don't want that. But before we begin, let's pray. Lord, as we begin to look at your word today, as we begin to delve into this study of the Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, that truly that the Holy Spirit would come and be the teacher. That, Lord, somehow you would cause me to be able to step aside and just yield to the gift that's resident on the inside of me, and that you could preach your will your way that never lacks your power, that you could speak what you would want to speak. And, Lord, that we would have ears to hear as we make our proclamation, and we will, as we make our proclamation that we want to be able to be transformed into your image, by your word, by your spirit, by your power, your will, your way, not ours, yours, that would make all the difference. And we thank you for it. And everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can we do today by the...
Yeah, I think we know it well enough. I don't have it.
Okay, let's stand and let's make our proclamation, our prayer of proclamation that we make. Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life, that I may be transformed into his image. Amen. You may be seated. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Way back in the 70s, I was raised as a Southern Baptist in Southern Baptist Mecca country in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm thankful for my background. I'm thankful for my history. I'm thankful for the church that I was raised in. And I'm also thankful that the church that I was raised in, the particular fellowship that I went to, when it came to the study of the Holy Spirit, they didn't disqualify what they didn't understand. They didn't teach on it, but they didn't talk against it. So I'm thankful for that, because I've heard of churches that have talked against the baptism of the Holy Spirit, talked against the manifestations of the Spirit, talked against the moving of the Spirit, saying that, you know, that when the disciples all went out, then just the Holy Spirit went out, and you know, that one day was, how does the scripture in Romans goes, love, joy, was it, well, what is that scripture at the end of Romans chapter 8 says, all these gifts will come to an end, but love goes on to forever. I've heard people actually say that scripture means that the Holy Spirit is not operating today, and that has nothing to do with the operation of the Holy Spirit. But as a young child, I can remember I was at Ridgecrest Baptist Assembly, which is not too far from here, up there toward Black Mountain. And I was standing in that great hall, and I was sharing this with Dan yesterday because we drove by there. We took my daughter to Appalachian yesterday, and then we went to Hendersonville to go see his mother in the hospital, and we drove through all the snow. That's why that's the dirtiest vehicle out there. But we drove through all that snow and stuff. But we were driving past Ridgecrest, and I said, you know, Dan, in that sanctuary right there, I believe I had my first experience with a tangible, knowledgeable, is that a word? Presence of the Holy Spirit. Because I was a teenager, and there was a man teaching, and he was a DJ somewhere and also a youth pastor. And there were about 3,000 teenagers in that building. We were all crammed in there. And I was standing by one of those big columns in that building, which are made of rock. And the guy was on the platform, and he was teaching. He said, now, some of you young men and women are going to be called by God into full-time ministry. He said, some of you have gifts, and God is going to use your giftings by the word of God, by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, to bring you into full-time ministry. And he said, I want you to bow your head. I want you to ask the Lord to see if that's you. And if it's you, I want you to come forward. Well, when he said that, I remember I stood up, I put my hand on that rock wall column there in the back almost of that sanctuary, and somehow I had gotten separated from everybody that I was there with, and I was by myself, which I believe that was God, because it was an experience that I needed to experience by myself. And I put my hand on that thing and I bowed my head and I said, God, that would be wonderful if you would call me in to a full-time ministry position. If that's what you have for me, if that's what you want with me. I said, I can't imagine how you'd ever use me. I cannot imagine. At that point in my life, I thought maybe musically that God would use me. I said, and if that's what it is, that's great. But Lord, am I one of these people that he's talking about? And I'm telling you, it's just as real to me today as it was that day. I believed what happened to me that day because of my heart toward God, because I was open toward God, and because I was just simply saying, God, I want all of you there is. I want to be obedient to you. I want to follow you and what you have for me. It was as if someone poured a huge thing of warm oil, and it came on my head, and it poured down. And I'm telling you, I felt it physically come down on me and go all the way down to my feet. I believe that morning, if I'd had wisdom, I would have understood that as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I was crying out to God, I want all that you have for me. I want to be at that place you want for me. If this is what you have for me, if you're setting me aside for full-time ministry, whatever it is, God, I want to be. And I'm telling you, I didn't go forward. I didn't go backwards. I didn't fall on my face. I just stood there in that anointing. I felt that warm oil of God. And I remember crying out to him, say, Lord, just find me faithful. Find me obedient. That's all I want to be. And whatever you're doing, just keep it going. And I didn't understand. I didn't know what was happening to me. But I believe that day there was an encounter with the person of the Holy Spirit. We're going to look on Wednesday nights about the fact that Jesus said, it's expedient that I go because there's another who is going to come. And he's not going to be just with you, but he's going to reside on the inside of you. And we understand, and this is something I wanted to really meant to say to you before service, but I know you won't care about this, because you'll like what I'm fixing to say, is I've been rereading The Shack. And I think, personally, I want to make it a goal that every January of my life that I reread that book. Because there's some things about relationships and understanding how to walk in relationship that come through that book as God is talking to God is talking to God. As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are mingling together in that book. There's a thing about relationships that I want to understand, I want to grasp hold of, and I want to walk with. And I believe if we'll understand the person of the Holy Spirit will reveal to us, and we're going to see this in Scripture, all the things about Jesus. And Jesus says, I've come to show you the Father. So through the person of the Holy Spirit, we're going to see God in the way God wants us to see him. And that with the Holy Spirit, we'll find that. Right after that happened to me in my, I guess that was probably about the end of my junior high years. We didn't call it middle school back then. We called it junior high. But anyway, I was in high school. And in high school, I still didn't know anything about the person of the Holy Spirit. Thankful that my church didn't speak against it. They just didn't talk about it. So it wasn't taught wrong. But my homeroom for high school about my junior year, my homeroom was in the library. And so during the homeroom period of my day, I had freedom just to walk through the library and pick out books and read them. And I would usually pick out a book, read it, put something in there when I get to a certain page, shut it back at the end of homeroom and put it back in its spot. And nobody ever touched that book for some reason. That just always worked for me. But I can remember, and why this book was in this particular library at Mount Juliet High School, which is a secular school, why these books were there, I don't know, but they were there. Because I remember I was looking through the religious section of the library, and there was a book about this woman named Catherine Coleman. And I pulled that book out, and during my homeroom period, I read about this woman named Catherine Coleman. Now, I don't know if anybody here experienced her ministry. I regret the fact that when I was a child, she ministered in Nashville, Tennessee, and I didn't know anything about it. I would have loved to experience her ministry. But this woman knew the person of the Holy Spirit. And there were many miracles, many signs and wonders that followed her ministry. It was a great woman of God. Now, I was raised in a Baptist church where women are only allowed to preach to women and to the mission field. They're not allowed to speak to men. But I remember reading this book thinking, I'm telling you, I don't know anybody in my church or in my life that had the power of God that was in this woman. Following that book, I found the book in the religious section about this man named Oral Roberts. And I took that book off the bookshelf, and during my homeroom period, I read about, this was like back in the 70s, y'all. So this is not when there's been a lot of stuff. Well, I guess about Catherine Kuhlman it might have been, but I never knew the woman. The woman's name was never mentioned in my home, or church, or life, so I didn't know who she was. I thought she was somebody that was dead, and to be honest with you, I thought Oral Roberts was dead when I read the book, because I think you usually read books about dead people. But anyhow, so so I was reading this book about Oral Roberts, and I read about his ministry. And the thing that stood out was that these people knew the person of the Holy Spirit. And reading those books began a hunger on the inside of me as a teenager. Nobody knew. I didn't share it with anybody. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't talk about it. I didn't ask about it. There was just something birthed on the inside of me through reading these books and through that experience at Ridgecrest Baptist Assembly. There was something I knew that was different than anything I had ever heard or known before. And as I read these books about these people who had a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, I began a quest in my life to understand this person of the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget when I got born again, and I was about 20 years old when this happened. Isn't it funny that you have a quest for the things of God, and I wasn't even saved. But for some reason, there was always a hunger there. And when I was about 20 years old, over the telephone, a lady, precious lady, spirit-filled lady, prayed with me to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I did. And I've known that ever since then. I mean, it was real. It was as real as real. I had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and it changed my life. But after that, I began hanging out with these charismatic, full gospel, Holy Ghost people. And there were things about them I didn't understand. And I've heard people tell all these stories. You know, the first time I heard somebody speaking in tongues, it scared the daylights out of me. Or the first time I was in a service and people were raising their hands, it really bothered me. All I can tell you about is every bit of that stuff drew me. It didn't scare me. I don't know why. I guess God knew I needed all of this example in front of me to bring me into the path that He would bring me into. And when I was about 25 years old, I met a first cousin. His name was David. He had muscular dystrophy, and he was in a wheelchair. I knew about him, but I didn't know him. I knew I had a cousin that was in a wheelchair. When I got saved, and I was going to this little bitty spirit-filled church called Mount Juliet Chapel, and we were doing praise and worship, which I didn't know what that was, and I was learning all these little neat scripture songs. And y'all remember the song, never mind, I can't think of it. But anyway, there were a lot of people there in the church who were really big in the music field. Well, I say a lot of people. I mean, there were probably 30 people in the church when I first started going there. But there were some people in there that were involved in some of the great writings of great songs that have come through the churches of scripture songs. But I remember the scripture songs began to teach me, and I was memorizing scripture. And then I was hanging out with people who knew this person of the Holy Spirit. And it was very different from the way I was raised. And we're going to talk about on Wednesday nights the difference between the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's two little words, but they make a difference. And we're going to talk about that. So I encourage you. Part of my reason for being here this morning is I want to encourage you to come out on Wednesday nights and be a part of this study on the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to share with you some things this morning about my path with the Holy Spirit. But I was with my cousin and I said, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how to get it. And he said, well, it's a gift from God. How did you get salvation? He said, did you receive the gift? And I said, yes. He said, it's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from God. He said, if you want it, you just ask God. Now, God, being a father who wants to give his children good gifts, how much more, if you as a father want to give your son a good gift, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give you the very gift he designed for you? So I remember I was at this little, he was an associate pastor at this little Assembly of God church. And they had these little things, which we didn't have at the Southern Baptist Church. But they had these things at the Southern Baptist Church I went to, okay? But they had these prayer altars at the front of the little Assembly of God church. And my cousin pulled up in his wheelchair, and I got down on my knees, and I'm just praying to God, fill me with the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And my cousin's sitting back behind me in his wheelchair, and I'm praying, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I wanted the evidence of speaking in tongues, because it is as you walk in the life of the Holy Spirit, we understand that the one of the first initial evidences of being filled with the Holy Ghost is the freedom to pray in tongues. And I don't want to get in any debate about that today, because we're going to talk about that on Wednesday night. But anyhow, I was on my knees and I was praying. I said, okay, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost and go. I was opening my mouth, like, make me speak in tongues. And I'd say, okay, God, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, go. And my cousin was sitting behind me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm waiting for God to make me pray in tongues. He says, God's not going to make you do anything. He said, the Holy Ghost is a gift. And you receive your gift. And as you receive your gift, you just flow. And I said, well, that's easier said than done if I don't know what praying in tongues. I'm saying, I could make up something, but I don't want to make up something. He said, where's your faith? He said, when you got saved and you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he said, did you feel something come and reside on the inside of you? And I said, no. He said, what made you know you were saved? I said, because I received the gift of salvation. And I refused to let anything or anybody take that from me. He said, the same thing with the Holy Ghost. You receive it. And by faith, he said, because there are times when you don't feel saved. Amen? Amen. There are times you don't look too saved. And every once in a while, there's a time when you don't act saved. But does that change the fact whether you're saved or not? No. Because I received a gift that nobody's going to take from me. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about my gift of salvation in my life. Nobody's going to take it from me. And he said, with the same faith you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, with that same faith, receive the Holy Ghost. And begin to walk out what you have and let God bring the increase. And he said, Mike, maybe you'll hear one syllable. Maybe you'll hear one word. Maybe you'll hear an entire language. He said, just whatever you get, give to it. And I remember I got one word in my head that was not English. And I said my one word over and over and over and over and over. And we're going to talk about this on Wednesday nights, how I got freed to pray in the Holy Ghost. Because I got freed to where I can give to the Holy Ghost and I can pray in the Holy Ghost. And we're going to talk about the reasons why. But the number one reason I believe that we are given the person of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit equals wisdom. What we need in this earth more than anything else is the mind of God. If I told Charlie how to run his life and there's no wisdom in me, Charlie would look at me and say, you're an idiot. But if the Holy Spirit comes into Charlie's life and he understands how to know, recognize, and hear the Holy Spirit, and he gets the wisdom of God, there's nothing but success in front of him. In whatever area it is, whether it's financial, whether it's social, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whatever area of life, or whether it's spiritual. Whatever area of life that you are having a challenge, that you are growing, that you are submitting to God, there is a place of growth. If you get the wisdom of God, if you get the mind of God, if you get the word of God, then you have something to release your faith on, just like the day you got saved. You know, the word says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And most people believe that experience is just for the day you get saved. I believe it's the beginning of the experience that you will realize for the rest of your life. as it's a principle of God. As we understand the person of the Holy Spirit, we understand who He is and how He ministers, and we train our ear to hear the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will give us the very wisdom of God. If I have the very wisdom of God, all hell can come at me, but it won't change me because the wisdom of God is greater. And against that revelation, we're going to look at the scripture, against that revelation, the very gates of hell will not prevail. The wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit, the person of the... Jesus said, when He was with all the people, y'all get so excited about the Holy Ghost, and we may not get to my notes, but that's all right. I'm getting us started, and you'll be here on Wednesday nights. But this is what's so exciting to me, is as we move forward, as we come into what God has for us, we begin to understand this person of the Holy Spirit. We began to see this person of the Holy Spirit. That day as I was kneeling and I received by faith and I began to speak my word. And then as I began to release my faith, it began to become a part of who I was. And then it began to become easier and easier. And I began to learn how to hear the Holy Spirit. Then I, at this point in my life, God moved me into a church where they taught the word of God in a way I had never experienced before. They would break the word down in such a way that you couldn't help but understand it. But before we would break the word and eat, partake of the word, we had praise and worship, where we would release ourselves before God, where there would be an atmosphere of praise and worship, which would bring the very presence of God. So there was an atmosphere of faith. With the atmosphere of faith, also combined with a man or a woman of God who were hearing by the Holy Spirit, would begin to teach. That word began to change my life. And that's one thing I like so much about Pastor Don, is that he's a teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm apt to get started, and as I hear these little rabbit trails in my mind or in my spirit, I'm going to run down them, and we'll all get there. And if we don't get to my notes, I'll say, well, bless God, we had church, or we heard what God wanted to say. Teachers get ABC 1, 2, 3. Teachers get the word, and they'll get a revelation, and my former pastor used to say, that hound will hunt. I mean, they'll stay on that thing until everybody in the room's got it. All right. I like that about teachers. Preachers, we just get you all excited, and everybody goes, what was that about? But anyway, it's about the Holy Ghost, amen. but I sat under this minister for 5 years, Pastor Charles Cowan, who taught the uncompromised Word of God with revelation that every Sunday I couldn't write fast enough, I couldn't receive fast enough. I bought the tapes, I listened to them through the week. Of course, back then we didn't have CDs, we had tapes. And every car had a tape player. But we listened to the tapes, and I kept singing those scripture songs, and I kept praying in the Holy Ghost, and I kept stirring up these things. Began to get the wisdom and the mind of God, and began to see God do miraculous things in our midst. And I want to encourage us today, as it is 12 minutes till 12, I want to encourage us today that if we will know the person of the Holy Spirit, we will receive the wisdom of God. Let's look real quick. I'm going to look at a couple of the scriptures that are on your thing. I'm going to kind of go a little ahead of what I was going to say, but with heading to Isaiah, let me say this to you. I also had the privilege of, with being at Faith is a Victory, to sit under a man of God who has now gone home to be with the Lord. And he was a man who I consider to be one of the greatest teachers. I've got this marked. I don't know why I'm worried about it. One of the greatest teachers that ever walked the earth. And but he taught a series of messages in our church on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And his name was Lester Summerall. Now, Lester Summerall used to be on the radio all the time. And I would listen to his radio station and say, that's got to be the most boring man I've ever heard in my life. Because he taught monotone. He taught real point of fact. Just, this is the way it is. This is what the word says. This is what we hear. This is what we receive. And this is what you do. And I can remember thinking, everybody talks about this man of God who's got this great revelation. And I'd listen to his radio program and I'd like, You know, I'd catch myself off somewhere in, you know, my mind elsewhere other than. But when he came and spoke at the church, I'll never forget, he's about this tall. And he kind of got the platform and they moved it down. Oh, that one don't move down. They moved it down so he could see over it. And he began to speak. But there was something about being in his presence that when he walked on that platform, I said, this man knows God. There was something about him that was pretty incredible. And he began to teach. And I actually have a workbook given by him called The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. That workbook is what I'm going to be going through on Wednesday nights. But this man, when I met him, was in his late 70s. And he lived several years longer after that. And then finally one day just closed his eyes and said, I'm going home. But the man knew the Holy Spirit. And to sit under his teaching was a life-changing experience. In Isaiah chapter 11, let me read this to you. But it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, he's talking about Jesus and the church here. But listen to this next verse. He said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, I want you to get those words. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Throughout scriptures, we find many experiences where they talk about the fact that the hand of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, was with them. The hand of the Lord was upon them. Nehemiah talks about when he's building rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And I've been stirring that up lately. I'm going to preach that soon again about what happened to Nehemiah in rebuilding the walls. But the reason Nehemiah had strength to do in 52 days what took hundreds of years was because he said, the hand of my God was heavy upon me. And he said here, he said, this person that's coming, who is Jesus, and out of him will be a branch, the church. He said, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him. Now look, he's going to give us the characteristics of the Spirit. He said, the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. The Spirit, number one, of wisdom. The Spirit, number two, of understanding. The Spirit, number three, of counsel. The Spirit, number four, of might. The Spirit, number five, of knowledge. The Spirit, number six, of the fear of the Lord. What else in life would we ever need? Nothing. Let me say this again. This is preaching. If you're not getting it, I'm stirring myself happy. Okay. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is going to rest upon him. It's the Spirit of wisdom. I need wisdom. There's some people in this room today, if you don't get some wisdom soon, you don't feel like you're going to make it. Well, guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is here to give you wisdom. Amen. He said the Spirit of the Lord is understanding. There's some things going on that we don't understand in the natural. There's some things that are going on that if we look in the natural and we look at the circumstances, we would flat give up. But if we'll understand the person of the Holy Spirit, we will get the understanding of God. And the understanding of God will supersede the understanding of what's going on in this natural world. And with the understanding of God, you'll have something to put your faith upon, something to build your life upon, something to go forward with. Hallelujah. Number three, the Spirit of counsel. Wouldn't it be wonderful if in every situation, in every circumstance in your life, if you could understand, we all look at times and say, I need some counsel. I need some counsel. There's some things that are going on. I need some counsel. And Jesus, the word says that upon this man, Jesus, there was resting the Spirit of counsel. We're going to look in a minute, if we're not today, maybe next time, how that is offered to us. The Spirit of counsel. And I like this next one, y'all. The Spirit of might. The Spirit of might. There's some things going on right now. You need some might. You need something that goes beyond what can happen in the natural. You need something to build upon that has strength beyond anything you could find in a vitamin, in an exercise, in a whatever you call it, drink, and whatever. You need something that's got some might to it. Because standing in front of you is something that you can't deal with in the natural. Standing in front of you is something that you can't move in the natural. But the Word says that the Spirit of God has might. And I'm telling you, there's not a mountain too big that the Spirit of might can't deal with. Amen. Glory to God. I've done preached myself happy. And then he says this, and there's also coming a spirit of knowledge. How much more can we handle? Knowledge. Do you need knowledge? You see, knowledge usually, listen to this, wisdom is usually about something that we've learned from our now experience and our past. The spirit of knowledge will bring us from now to the future. Because if I have knowledge, I know where to go. If I have knowledge, I know what to do. If I have knowledge, I know where I belong. If I have knowledge, I know what God has in store. So the spirit of wisdom brings me understanding of now and what happened in the past. Y'all, there's some things in my past that if I didn't have the wisdom of God, I would have taken a gun and blown my head off. Because in the natural, I didn't understand why those things were going on. But now I can look back at those things, and the wisdom of God says, what the enemy meant for harm, I'm turning around for your good. Amen. What life meant to use for discouragement, I'm going to turn it into ministry. Hallelujah. And all that comes, y'all, through a personal experience and a personal knowledge and a being able to have a personal relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And the last of that, not least, y'all, he says, and upon him was the fear of the Lord. And I want you to understand, that word F-E-A-R is not scary. It's reverential awe. It's reverential awe. When you receive the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit will bring you to a place well, you will be face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there will out of that spirit come from your inner being, not fear of, oh my gosh, you don't understand what I've done, or maybe you do understand. You know everything. And he says, no, I want to bring you here because I want you to know there's nothing you can ever do that'll cause me to love you any less. And there's nothing you could ever do that'll cause me to love you any more. I love you totally right where you are right now. And the reverential awe of God will bring you to a place that you can have relationship. Relationship with God. And when you have that, it makes all the difference. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. Here it talks about the fact that the Spirit of God rested upon this one who is Jesus. Let me say this at this point, and then I'm going to close it down. When we know the person of the Holy Spirit, and we began to obtain the Word of God, the person of the Holy Spirit will bring revelation of the Word of God. The person of the Holy Spirit will bring light of the Word of God. If you ever hear anything in your prayer time from the pulpit, from the radio, from the TV, and you say, that can't be backed up by the Word, then the Holy Spirit will say to you, you're right. And maybe one day you'll hear something, you say, well, you know, I've never heard that before. Well, the person of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will say, I've been waiting for you to grab this. I love it when that happens. When you're sitting in a sanctuary, the preacher's preaching, all of a sudden he says a word, and you went, Wait a minute. I got to back up and replay that one. And it's funny thing about teachers, they'll like sense it that somebody needs to hear that again and say, let me say that again. Have y'all ever hear him say that? I'm going to say that one more time. That's because the Holy Spirit is imparting revelation to folk. The Holy Spirit is imparting wisdom. The Holy Spirit is imparting might. There's some folks that today is going to go home and grab with some might of God that you didn't have before you came in here today. Let me rephrase that. You had it, you just didn't know it was there. Because the Word says that all the fullness of God is dwelling on the inside of us. So everything in those scriptures that said was going to rest up on Jesus, every bit of that is on the inside of us. But the only way it'll get loosed is a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. He is our wisdom. Would you stand? Maybe somebody will be here besides me and Lori on Thursday night, on Wednesday night.
Yay, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you for the person of the Holy Spirit. And I ask you to visit this room right now by your Spirit to each one individually. There's not a person in here, Lord, that doesn't need an aspect of the counsel, wisdom, might, knowledge, fear of God. We submit to you, Lord. Maybe some of us haven't become equipped in how to hear that word. I thank you, Father, that that's going to happen. Maybe some of us, Lord, are hearing a word that we heard 30 years ago and the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm not giving you another one until you obey that one. That was for somebody. The Lord says he's not going to give you another word till you obey the last one he gave you. He can't trust you with another one if you can't walk in the one he gave you however long ago that was. I don't know who that's for, but you receive that in a manner of love. But understand, you can't move forward in God if you don't obey the last word. I sense real strong. That's a specific word, probably for more than one. But Lord, there's not a person here that doesn't need your guidance. All of us, Lord, we want to move forward in you. We want to, we understand we've received all there is to get. But what we want is the revelation of that gift evident in every area of our life. And I ask you, Lord, this week, let it be a seeking week. That we'll begin to seek the person of the Holy Spirit who will bring us the knowledge of the Word of God that will bring us to the knowledge of the heart of God. Lord, I said a whole lot real quick this morning. And I didn't even get part of what I was going to say. But God, I believe I said what you wanted me to say. The scripture in Isaiah preaches, Lord. Thank you for that scripture. And thank you, Lord, for the example of Jesus who walked in the evidence of the person of the Holy Spirit. And then he told us that if he went away, he would send another that would be just like him, who wouldn't be around for us to ask questions, but would actually reside on the very inside of each one of us. And that because of that presence, we can have wisdom for today, wisdom for tomorrow. Lord, we'll just accept wisdom for today, right now. Understanding your mercies are new every morning. And we'll walk in it. I thank you, Father. Lord, I don't know what everybody's dealing with. I don't know what everybody's circumstances are. There's not a one you don't understand. There's not a one you didn't send your son so that they could know the answer. Each of us. And Lord, as we began to look at the person of the Holy Spirit, I thank you for that wisdom, counsel, might, power, strength, advocate, all of that being evident in our lives. And that we would learn how to know him as we learn how to know you, as we learn how to walk with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I sense there are tons of questions this morning. But I thank you for every question, Lord. There's a greater answer. And that, Lord, we will see it. We will find it. We will know it. And then we will walk in it. Be blessed, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for this time. Thank you for each one is here. We will leave different than we came because we've been with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.